Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 1. Jeremiah, chapter 1. Let's pray together. Long ago, O Lord, you came to your servant Samuel and taught him to say through the prophet, "Speak, Lord, for your servant heareth." We pray that we might be attuned to your voice this morning and that we would hear. Hear in such a way that we glorify you. Hear in such a way that our lives are transformed by your Spirit. Hear in such a way that Jesus might be praised in us and through us. In his name we pray. Amen. Last week from Jeremiah chapter 1, we focused on verses 4 and 5, the call that the Lord gave Jeremiah to be a prophet. I'd like to read those words again with you and then continue reading verses 6 through 10. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." "Ah, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I am only a child," or in versions in the pew, "I am too young." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a child.' You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you," declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." The word of the Lord. Maybe you've heard the story before about a husband and wife who got up one Sunday morning. The wife got herself all dressed and ready to go to church. Just when it was time, however, to leave the house and go to church, she noticed that her husband had not yet done anything to get ready. That puzzled her, and so she asked him, "How come you aren't dressed and ready to go to church?" He said, "Well, I have three good reasons. I'm not going because, one, the congregation is very cold. Number two, they don't like me very much. And three, I just don't want to go." With that, his wife replied, "Well, I have three good reasons why you should go this morning. First of all, the congregation is very warm. Secondly, there are some people who like you. And thirdly, you're the pastor." So get up and get ready, get dressed, and let's go. Like the pastor, I'm sure each of us here this morning has had at one time or another made an excuse. Perhaps, in fact, some of us are very proficient in making excuses. Excuses, of course, are less than good, less than legitimate or valid reasons for doing something we've done or not doing something we should be doing. And so whether it's because we have forgotten to do our homework, or we are habitually late for work, or we've forgotten our anniversary again, or maybe we have been driving too fast and exceeding the speed limit, each of us here this morning knows what it's like to make excuses. When the Lord came to young Jeremiah and called him to be a prophet to the people of Judah, Jeremiah's response to the Lord was also in the form of an excuse. The Lord said to Jeremiah, I want you to be a prophet. And Jeremiah came back to the Lord and said, no, Lord, I'm just too young. I don't know how to speak. I'm only a child. And I wonder this morning if we're ever like Jeremiah. If ever we, when the Lord comes to us and calls us to do something, we also respond with some kind of an excuse. We also come back to the Lord and say, no, I'm not going to do that. As we saw last week, the Lord had just given Jeremiah a purpose for living, just as he gives each of us. Each of us has a why to live, a purpose for our lives. Jeremiah's particular purpose was to be a prophet. Our whys to live might be different than his. We, in fact, might have several whys to live. To be a parent, to teach children, to work in construction, or maybe our why to live is to encourage a fellow worker who is distressed and tired. Or maybe our why to live is to listen to a neighbor or a friend or a family member who is lonely or afraid or is going through grief or another particular challenge. Or maybe our why to live includes praying for a troubled grandchild or writing a note to a missionary who we know is discouraged. We wouldn't be alive today, as we saw last week, we wouldn't be alive today. The Lord wouldn't be enabling us to breathe and to have a heart that is beating and to be alive unless also there is a reason for us to live. Jeremiah's why to live was to be a prophet. And when the Lord then called Jeremiah to this assignment, Jeremiah tried to excuse himself by saying he just couldn't do it. He tried to tell the Lord he was too young, he was inexperienced, he was inadequate. I'm just a child, he said. Have you ever used one of those just a kind of excuses? I'm just an old person. I'm just an uneducated person. I'm just an ordinary Joe or an ordinary Mary. I haven't done anything like this before. We're reminded of people in the Bible who gave the Lord one of those justa kinds of excuses. We think of Moses, who when the Lord called him to go to Pharaoh and speak to Pharaoh, Moses said to the Lord, I'm just a tongue-tied stutterer. I am not eloquent. Send somebody else. Or again, there was Gideon. When the Lord called Gideon to deliver the Israelites from the Midianites, his initial response was, I'm just an average guy. I'm from the weakest tribe in Israel. And I'm the least in that family. And then Gideon, like Moses, said, send somebody else. Jeremiah was just a youth. Maybe he was as old as 20, as young as 14, but he certainly, as we would regard it, wasn't all that old. He was a young man. And on the one hand, then, we might commend Jeremiah for his honesty and for his humility. He realizes, he admits his inadequacy and his inexperience. He isn't filled with self-deceptive pride. He isn't bloated with an overinflated ego or an exaggerated perception of himself. And so perhaps we ought to give Jeremiah some credit. We ought to cut him some slack, as it were, when he acknowledges that he just felt he wasn't qualified to do what the Lord was calling him to do. And yet we must also recognize Jeremiah's response for what it really was. It was an excuse. It wasn't a valid, it wasn't a good reason to say no to the Lord. In effect, what Jeremiah was saying is, Lord, you don't know what you're doing. You've made a terrible mistake. Aren't you aware of how young I am? Don't you know that I lack any experience in doing now what you've called me to do? Remember, as we saw last week, when the Lord called Jeremiah, he told Jeremiah, I know you. In fact, I formed you in the womb, and I knew you even before then you were born. Now Jeremiah is telling the Lord, as it were, Lord, you're wrong about that. You don't know me. If you really knew me, you wouldn't be calling me to be a prophet. So Jeremiah is challenging the Lord and calling the Lord's wisdom and ways into question. At this point, it's obvious that Jeremiah didn't understand the truly amazing and remarkable ways in which God often accomplishes his purposes and fulfills his desires and will. He isn't aware of how oftentimes God works most effectively and most powerfully through those who are the weakest, through those who are the most helpless, through those who are the least likely of candidates to do what he wants them to do. It's not always, as we see in the Bible again and again, first of all, the strong, the powerful, the noble, the noteworthy people who others might consider the most qualified. It's not always these people that the Lord calls or works to accomplish his purposes, to build his kingdom. Again, the Lord often then does his greatest work through those who we might say are common people, ordinary people. He does that so all of the glory then goes to him. Think of the disciples of Jesus. They were common, ordinary men, a number of them fishermen, one a tax collector. Or think of Mary, the mother of our Lord. Humanly speaking, Mary wasn't qualified for the exalted position that the Lord was giving to her. Because of her age, because of her stature in the community, because of her wealth or anything like that, yet she was the one that the Lord chose for this most beautiful assignment of bearing the Christ child. And so again, While we might recognize and applaud Jeremiah's honesty and maybe even his humility in this response that he gives to the Lord, we must not overlook the terrible mistake that is found in this response. You see, the issue here isn't, first of all, who Jeremiah is. The issue, first of all, is who is the Lord. When Jeremiah says, "I'm just a child," what he is doing is only looking at himself. He's only listening to the voice that comes from within, the voice of fear. The voice of fear, which often then drowns out any voice of faith. He is drowning out the voice of faith in a great and glorious, merciful and powerful God who has come to bring meaning and purpose into his life. And as New Testament believers, of course, we know much more than Jeremiah could ever know as to who this Lord, as to who this God truly is. He is God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who for Christ's sake has become our Father, and who then in everything is working for our good. This God is the Son, Jesus, through whose death and by his resurrection, we have become more than conquerors through him who loved us. This God we know as the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of power, who raised Jesus from the dead and who now comes to live within us. We know much more than Jeremiah knew when he gave his excuse to the Lord. That brings us to the reply then that the Lord gave to Jeremiah. Jeremiah says, "Lord, I don't know how to speak. I'm only a child." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a child.' You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you," declares the Lord. What the Lord is doing is what we see him doing throughout the Scriptures, assuring those whom he calls to any kind of work, assuring them of his holy presence, as also then he assures each of us of that presence in the ways that he calls us to serve. There was a new teacher who was trying to teach her students to have self-esteem. And so she started the class by saying, "Anyone who thinks they are dumb, please stand up." She didn't think anyone would stand up. She wanted to make the point, really, that no one was dumb. A few seconds later, however, little Johnny did stand up. And the teacher didn't know what to do. She didn't know what to say. But finally she asked, "Johnny, do you really think you're dumb?" And to that, Johnny replied, "No, ma'am. I just hate to see you standing alone." Johnny understood, little Johnny understood that awful experience of standing alone. And he didn't want that for his teacher. And I'm sure there are times when we feel also that we're standing by ourselves, when the moment of opportunity arises to speak a word of encouragement, to lend a listening ear, to give a helping hand, to get involved in helping another person, to witness for the Lord, or to teach someone the ways of the Lord. We sometimes feel like we're standing alone. The lines of tension appear over our forehead, and butterflies come into our stomach and flutter there, and we feel afraid, and we feel alone. And while that may be a natural kind of initial response, the truth of the matter is, whenever we're obedient to the Lord, we have the assurance of His presence, the presence of an Almighty, all-merciful, all-wise, all-loving God. And so that's what the Lord wanted to assure Jeremiah of, first of all, that he wasn't going alone in this assignment, that the Lord would be with him. And then he tells Jeremiah, "Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you." Now, when the Lord tells Jeremiah that he is going to rescue him, he's not assuring Jeremiah that his task is going to be easy, that he's not going to confront any kind of opposition, or that he will have to, not in any way, experience pain. He's not guaranteeing any of that. In fact, we know that, as we read in chapter 2, Jeremiah gets beat up. In chapter 36, the king reads his scroll, burns his scroll. In chapter 37, he gets thrown into a dark dungeon. And in chapter 38, he gets tossed into a muddy well. Someone put it like this: everywhere Jeremiah turned, he found resistance. He spoke to the rulers. The rulers said, "Take a flying leap." He spoke to the priests. The priests said, "Get out of here." He spoke to the people, and they said, "Get lost." Every time Jeremiah spoke the words of God, he got a resistive hearing. And so, no, when the Lord says to Jeremiah, "I'm going to be with you and I'm going to rescue," he's not guaranteeing Jeremiah that this is going to be an easy assignment. But what he is assuring Jeremiah of is that he would strengthen him. He would uphold him. He assures Jeremiah that nothing ultimately harmful is going to happen to him. And with that, then, and what's more then, though it may appear that his work is unsuccessful, as long as he is faithful, he can leave the results in the Lord's hands. And then the Lord adds, verse 9, "Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, 'Now I have put my words in your mouth.'" When the Lord gives an assignment to any of us, He never leaves us without the resources to meet that assignment, to fulfill that task. He always equips those He calls. Jeremiah says, I'm only a child. I don't know how to speak. And the Lord says, don't let that stop you. I'll put my words in your mouth. And it's with this assurance then that the Lord once more gives Jeremiah his assignment, as we read in verse 10. "See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." In one of Charles Schulz's Peanuts cartoons, Charlie Brown is talking to his friend Linus. And he talks to Linus about his pervasive sense of inadequacy that he feels all of the time.
And Charlie Brown moans then, you see, Linus, it all goes way back to the beginning. The moment I was born and set forth on the stage of life, they took one look at me and said, he's not right for the part. Jeremiah didn't think that he was right for the part. I'm just a child. And maybe we say something like that to the Lord as well. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm too shy. I don't have time. I have no experience. The Lord says, just go where I send you. Just do what I tell you to do. And just remember, I who love you am always with you. Let's pray. Lord, every day you present us with opportunities that you want us to meet. You give us opportunities to serve in a whole host of different ways. You call us to be your disciples, Lord Jesus. You call us to follow you, to walk as you walk, proclaiming the gospel, ministering to the needs of others, ushering in the work of your kingdom, coming close to others in your name and giving them a cup of cold water. Lord Jesus, we pray for the grace when you open a door for us to walk through that door, knowing that you will provide, you will bless, you are with us. Amen.